Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In this reading from the book of the prophet Amos, we see God's harsh judgment on the king and on the people of Israel, the northern 10 tribes of the 12 tribes of the people of Israel, after the kingdom had divided between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom was primarily disobedient to God and to God's will. And so God sent his prophet Amos to proclaim God's judgment on them. Well, we might wonder, think to ourselves, well, if God pronounced judgment on Israel, his own chosen people, for their sins, what about us? How have we escaped God's judgment so far because of our sins? While the holy and just God does hate sin, he also deals with people graciously and patiently so that the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to work in their hearts, to lead them to acknowledge their sin by the message of God's law, and to lead them to faith in Jesus, their Savior, and that wonderful gospel message. And for this purpose, the Lord sends out prophets to his people so that they might hear God's word and repent of their sins and believe. The prophet Amos lived about 750 years before the birth of Jesus. As he tells us in our reading, he was a shepherd and he also took care of sycamore fig trees. He also says that he himself was not a professional prophet from his youth, Nor was he the son of a prophet who followed in his father's footsteps in that occupation. But yet the Lord still called him to prophesy to his people. Now, as we look at that word prophesy, the basic meaning of the word is to speak forth or to speak a message on behalf of someone else. The idea that prophecy is telling something about something that will happen in the future, that was really only one part of what God called his prophets in the Old Testament to do. The Lord chose Amos to serve as his own representative, as his ambassador, to proclaim to his chosen people of Israel the message that God wanted them to hear. In our reading, we see that the priest of the northern kingdom of Israel, Amaziah, calls Amos a seer. Now that refers to the way that the Lord, at least in part, revealed his will to Amos. The book of Amos contains 5 specific visions which are introduced by phrases like, "This is what the sovereign Lord showed me," Amos says in chapter 7. And in chapter 9 he says, "I saw the Lord standing by the altar." So we see that God revealed things to Amos in visions, as if in a dream. And God also spoke to Amos in those visions. And Amos tells us in our reading that God had told him to go prophesy to my people Israel. Now we know that the Lord had chosen the Israelites as his special people. God had promised through Moses, "I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." And as we remember from our Bible history, although time and time again, the people of Israel had violated the covenant that God had established with them, God still remained faithful to his part of that covenant. And God sent the prophet Amos to his people Israel so that they might hear his word again and repent of their sins. The Lord told Amos to call his people's attention to their sins that were arousing God's righteous anger. In the book of Amos, we hear about some examples of those sins that were being committed among the people. We hear about crooked business practices that were going on. Merchants who were using one set of scales to weigh out the produce that the people were buying, and then using a different set of scales that was more favorable to them to weigh out the amount of money that was to be paid in exchange for that produce. The Lord had also reveals some of the other abuses that were taking place, that in the courts of law, when there was a hearing before one of the elders of the people, that poor people among the Israelites could not get a fair hearing because there was either bribery going on or just bias or favoritism towards the rich people among them. We read about how people were committing adultery and other acts of sexual immorality, very often openly in public. There were wild, sinful parties that were a regular occurrence among God's people. People were squandering and misusing the material resources that God had entrusted to them. And so, in response to all of these violations of God's law that his people were committing, Amos prophesied that the day of the Lord would come. Now, this day of the Lord would not be a day of deliverance from Israel's enemies. Rather, it would be a day of vengeance and punishment for those who did not repent of their sins and believe in God's love and forgiveness. The Lord had revealed to Amos that one of the consequences of unbelief and unrepented sin would be that many of the people of that northern kingdom of Israel would be taken away from their homeland into exile in foreign countries, and they would never again return to that homeland. And we also read in our reading that the king, Jeroboam, himself would die. And finally, we also see in the book of Amos that on the last day of the world, which is the ultimate day of the Lord, all people will stand before the judgment seat of God to receive his just judgment. Through these proclamations of Amos, the Lord was calling his people to account and to repent of their sins. In Amos chapter 5, verses 14 to 15, Amos says, "Seek good, not evil, so that you may live. Then the Lord Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph." We know that deliverance for the Israelites could not come by works, but only by the acceptance of God's grace and mercy, which forgives their sins. That acceptance or faith in God's love is something that only the Holy Spirit could produce through the proclamation of the good news of life and forgiveness through God's promises. Now we read that the priest of that northern kingdom of Israel reported the message that Amos was prophesying to King Jeroboam. And then Amaziah brought back to Amos a rebuke from King Jeroboam. He told Amos to go back to Judah, to the southern kingdom, and to prophesy there instead of prophesying in the northern kingdom of Israel. By rejecting Amos and his message, Amaziah and Jeroboam were rejecting the Lord. The leaders of Israel and the people themselves did not listen to God's call for them to repent of their sins. They did not heed the message from the Lord as his prophet proclaimed it. And so we read later in the Bible that the capital city of that northern kingdom of Israel, Samaria, was destroyed by the Assyrian Empire in the year 722 BC, and that many people from Samaria and from the northern kingdom of Israel were taken away into exile, never again to return to their homeland. Now, while we today do not live in a nation that can claim that same kind of covenant relationship with our Lord that the Old Testament kingdom of Israel enjoyed, yet through baptism, God has established his covenant with each one of us. In baptism, our holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit claimed us as his own. In baptism, we read in Romans chapter 6 that we have been connected with the death and resurrection of Jesus, our Savior. As Christians, we have died to sin, and we are alive to God through faith in Jesus, our Savior. And so individually and collectively, we are members of the body of Christ, the church. However, we also are still living in this world. And so the devil, the world, and our own sinful natures conspire against us and tempt us to sin against God and against God's people. Though the temptations that come to us today might appear to be somewhat different in form than the temptations that faced the people of Israel in Old Testament times, when we look at them closely, we see that those temptations are underneath, under the surface, basically the same that we face today as what they faced thousands of years ago. In the world around us, people are putting their trust in other things rather than in the one true God. There is abuse of drugs and alcohol that is one of the tragic marks of the time in which we live. We're bombarded by messages all around us in the media and in society of accounts of sexual immorality, adultery, pornography. We hear about corruption and bribery that goes on in government and in business, so that those things seem to have become almost accepted facts of the way of that life and business occur. The message of the prophet Amos comes to us through the pages of the Bible, along with the messages from God through all of the other prophets and apostles. Through that message, God the Holy Spirit leads us daily to repent of our sins, to hear God's word, and to believe in his forgiveness. God, through his prophet Amos, today is calling us to ask some important questions of ourselves. Am I as concerned about my fellow human beings as I should be? How am I using the resources that God has given to me? Am I using God's gifts primarily for my own pleasure and satisfaction, or have I been sharing the material blessings that God has given to me with people who are less fortunate than myself? Am I a slave to any of the material substances that God has created, or am I a servant of my Creator? Am I leading a pure and decent life in thoughts, words, and actions? Have I been faithful to my spouse? Have I misused drugs or alcohol? Have I shared the good news of God's love and forgiveness through Jesus with those people that God has placed around me in my life? God is calling each one of us to be his representatives in the world. He is calling us to bear witness by our words and actions that we have experienced his love and mercy, his forgiveness and salvation through Jesus, our Savior. God is calling us to give evidence of the fact that in holy baptism we died to sin and we have been raised to new life and to a new relationship with God through the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. While all people may not experience the day of the Lord in the form of the massive destruction of a city or a nation as the people of Israel did in 722 BC, yet we know from God's word and his promises that all people will experience the great judgment on the last day of the world, that great day of the Lord. All of us will stand before the judgment seat of God. Those whom the Holy Spirit has led to hear and to heed God's law, and those whom the Holy Spirit has led to believe in God's love and mercy to us and his forgiveness through Jesus, will be invited to receive the eternal joys and blessings of eternal life with God in heaven. But those who have rejected and who have spurned God's warning and his gracious invitation will be led away to eternal punishment in hell. We are still living in the time of God's grace. God is giving us daily opportunity for heeding his word so that the Holy Spirit may lead us daily to repent of our sins and to a daily renewal of our faith in God's forgiveness to us through Jesus, and to a desire to continue hearing God's word, to repent and to accept God's plan of salvation through Jesus. All of us can be God's spokesman wherever we are. We can speak God's law and gospel. We can speak God's law and gospel to each other, here in our church, in our fellowship gatherings, in our homes, to our family members, in our workplaces and schools, to colleagues and classmates. In fact, everywhere we go, where we go shopping or where we go to relax or for recreation, we can look for people in those places as well to share the message of God's love and forgiveness. Sometimes people who are not a member of a Christian church or are not very active in their Christian faith life say that they don't really see much of a difference between people who are active churchgoers and people who are simply non-Christians. What about you? Does your status as a Christian make a difference in your daily life? God calls and empowers you through His word and sacraments so that you might be His representative, so that you might be His witness to the new life that you have through Jesus, your Savior, and so that you might be included among the number of the saints who stand at God's right hand on that final day of judgment. May God, the Holy Spirit, through His word, for the sake of Jesus, our Savior, lead you to hear and to heed God's law, to repent of your sins daily, to daily believe and be refreshed by the words of the gospel of the forgiveness of your sins through Jesus, to live as a child of God's promise, and to testify to the life and love that He has worked in your heart. Amen.